A few years ago, I was working on a master's degree, and I was able to take most of my classes at OSU Tulsa, which was great because it's here in town, and it has Tulsa on the name. But once in a while, the program would force me to step foot on campus over there in Stillwater, and I would do that grudgingly. But I remember walking across campus those times I won't go on. But I remember walking across campus, and I would walk near the stadium, and at that time they were finishing up the renovations of the stadium at OSU. And it's really an amazing stadium. It's really beautiful, and it's impressive. And I remember walking, and you look up at a structure like that, and you see at the top the name. It's not OSU Stadium or Cowboy Stadium, it's Boone Pickens Stadium. I remember seeing that. You know, what would it be like to have something like that with your name on it? What would it be like to have a skyscraper and it be your name? You know, Williams Center, Trump Tower. What would it be like to have something so impressive in our eyes? And it be built and have your name on it. Well, it's interesting in Scripture. Look in Genesis chapter 11. You know, man hasn't changed much in some ways. Technology has changed. Our knowledge and understanding of things has changed. But man hasn't changed much. And it's interesting that in Genesis 11, this is right after the flood. This is right after God destroys all living except one family, one righteous man and his family. So you have eight people step off the ark. And it's not long after that that we find Genesis 11 and people wanting to build. And it says, verse 1, the whole world had one language and a common speech. And so it was a unique time. There weren't different peoples. There weren't different languages. Now this is a little bit after Noah and his family. So you have a population. But they have one speech. And verse 2 says, as men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. So they come to a place probably where stone isn't readily available for building. And they decide to make building items, bricks, in order to build. And then verse 4, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. And so, let us build a tower. Let us build ourselves a tower. That's what they want to do. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 9, this is not long back. If you look in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God has said to Noah and his family, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. God has said to the human race, I want you to fill the earth. And the human race came to a point that they said, we don't want to scatter. We want to gather. We want to huddle. We want to come together. And we want to build. And we want to make a name for us. And so at first glance, this Tower of Babel is an interesting story. At first glance, it looks like, well, God, what's the problem? You know, this is the first skyscraper. You got to give it up to man. You made them. I mean, we're amazing creatures. And we can do amazing things. And so what's the problem? You know, is God jealous? But in reality, when you understand what God wanted them to do, this is rebellion. God said, scatter or fill the earth, and man said, no, we don't want to. And then in verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Well, it's a little confusing. It sounds like God's afraid man's going to get on his level. You know, is God afraid that man's going to advance too quickly? But understand that God is not frustrated because they wanted to do great things. God is frustrated because of the evil in their heart. God wanted them to spread, and God always wants us to acknowledge Him as the source of everything good in our lives. And here you have man that said, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to be scattered. We want to come together and do what we want to do. We want to make a name for ourselves. We're not concerned about who made us. Now, we're concerned about us. And we want to make a name for ourselves. And so you have this sin of pride. And God is saying, if this is how it is at this point, understand, God just, He just hit the reset button with the flood. Right? God just reset everything. This is like a computer that you've had a lot of problems with. You took it, you got it fixed, you got it back, and now we're already having problems again. And God said, if this is how it's going, it's the evil that God was worried about and the sin. And so God confused them with their language in verse 7. In verse 7, God says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. And so God is able to change where they were headed. It's interesting when you think about man. Man loves to build. I was at the hospital recently and waiting. I was visiting someone, waiting for an elevator, and I'm up, you know, about the 10th floor, 10th story, and I'm looking over Tulsa and downtown in particular, and you see the skyscrapers. You see, you know, large buildings amaze me. They always impress me. It's amazing to me what the human, when coordinated, what we're able to do. There's been a recent conflict. I don't know if you're aware of it. On the left, we have what's been known as the Sears Tower in Chicago. For the past 40 years, the Sears Tower has held the title as the tallest building in the United States. But recently, One World Trade Center on the right is claiming to be taller. And now we have a controversy, right? Chicago, New York, this rivalry. Who has the tallest building? I want to play a short video clip, and this is the announcement. This is from an independent organization that evidently decides things like this. And this is a gentleman that is speaking, and what you're watching was actually broadcast live in both cities for both to hear the grand, you know, decision. This is like an instant replay on a huge scale, okay? And here's the decision.
America's tallest building, when it completes next year, will be One World Trade Center. After 39 years of holding the title of America's tallest building, Sears will be number two in the U.S. One World Trade Center Tower in New York has been ratified by the CTUH High Committee as having a height of 1,776 feet to the height of architectural top. In our criteria, spires count in the height of buildings, and antennae do not count. And the issue was that earlier this year, actually last year, the architectural climb, which was originally envisaged to crown that topmost structure, was removed from the design. The key word here, the key word is permanence. The decision that the decision that antennae do not count in the height of the building is because the antennae are not permanent to the building design.
Before I talk much about this, I want to acknowledge that as a nation, this is kind of a asterisk. As a nation, the rebuilding of One World Trade Center is important to us. It's symbolic to us. Our nation has been attacked, and this is inspirational to us. Okay, and I want to acknowledge that. And I don't belittle that. There's nothing wrong with building something. Okay, please don't misunderstand me. But with that said, now let's talk about who has the taller building. You know, New York and Chicago are in this rivalry, and you have to have this independent organization, and they give the verdict. And when you have something like that, you need, even though it's American, you need a British speaking person because they they sound, you know, official, right? And so I learned what a spire is. That's like a needle. But, you know, a needle's good, antenna's bad. And so needle, you get to count that. And antenna, you don't, but you have all this hubbub about who has the bigger building. It's not wrong to build, you know, to be an architect or be in construction and build things that are really impressive. But it's a short step. It's a short step from there to being prideful. Look at what we can do. And it's not just building. None of us are architects on this scale. None of us, we don't do this. But there are things in our lives that we are able to do. And it's a short step from look at me and what I can do to being prideful and really minimizing God and His place in our life. Men build. It's one of the greatest achievements in man's eyes, what we are able to build. And it has been. And it goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. It's in our human sinful nature to be great. Look at me. Look at what we can do. We think we are strong. As humans, we think we are impressive. We think we are great. But the reality is we are nothing without God. And that's the point that our people do not get, do they? They do not understand that without God, what are you? We're nothing. I want us to think quickly about the human body and just to consider a few things that have to happen and take place for us to live, just for us to survive. Your body produces about 300 billion new cells each day. If it didn't, we wouldn't last long. About every 27 days, you shed and regrow outer skin cells. Now, some of this will be a little disturbing. This is a little gross. But your body does that. And if it doesn't do it, we don't last long. Our body has systems. And these systems all work together in order just for us to live one day. And this kind of takes me back to junior high biology, some of this. But I want to run through some of these systems in the way that our body functions. Our bodies have a digestive system. And coming on the heels of Thanksgiving, this is kind of on our, we understand this, right? It's amazing to me, you put something in your mouth and you eat it and your body does incredible things with it. Uses it to keep us functioning and keep us alive. Our bodies have an endocrine system in which hormones regulate things that we need. Growth is one of them. Our children, isn't it amazing? The human body grows up, but we reach a point where the body itself says, no more growing. And if that doesn't work right, there's major problems. Our body has an immune system. Sometimes people's immune, they have a disease that affects their immune system, and it's a major issue. If our bodies cannot fight off disease, and as a part of that, the lymphatic system, our lymph nodes, transport white blood cells in order to fight off disease. Our body has a nervous system. Some of that's voluntary, thank goodness. Otherwise, we couldn't walk. We couldn't do anything and we wouldn't last very long. So we have the ability to tell ourselves what to do, but then our body has the involuntary system, in which case, you know, in the time that I've been preaching, you have taken approximately 200 breaths. You have, your heart has beat approximately 1,000 times just in the time I've been up here. And we didn't control any of it. Isn't that amazing? When I sleep and I'm not conscious, I still breathe. My heart still beats. My body still runs. It's like an engine running and I'm not controlling any of it. We have the muscular system. Your body has about 650 muscles. Without them, we couldn't do anything. We have a reproductive system. Without that, Adam and Eve, and that's it. Or however many God wants to create, but without the reproductive system, we don't make babies. Without the skeletal system, which has 206 bones connected by tendons, ligaments, cartilage, without that, we can't. Our muscles aren't useful. Our bones are also involved in producing blood cells and storing calcium. We have a respiratory system, in which case we breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. How does that work? How does that work? Where we are able, I mean, every breath is so important to us. We have a urinary system where we eliminate waste. We have a system that I can't pronounce, but it's regarding your skin. And our skin, without it, we're so susceptible to disease. Our skin regulates our body temperature through perspiration. Our body eliminates waste through perspiration. Just think about your body's major organs. Without the brain, we don't function. Without the heart working properly, we don't function. Without the kidneys, your kidneys process about 50 gallons of blood every day. 50 gallons of blood our kidneys process. Without our liver, without our lungs, the average person takes about 20,000 breaths each day. It blows my mind that we are able to climb the highest mountain. Mankind is able to cross the deepest sea. We're able to put a man on a moon. We're able to clone sheep. I mean, we're able to do all these things, build skyscrapers. But the human body, without God, we're nothing. The human body is so amazing. There's so many things that have to happen within us just for us to live one day. And in that way, we are really fragile. I was visiting Brenda in Brenda Brewer in the hospital recently. And she was talking about the blood clots that she had. And, you know, she had been kind of tired. And when they checked her out, they realized that she had so many blood clots. And if you know much about that, you know how dangerous that is and how frightening that is. And she made the statement, she said, "I know God was watching over me." And it made me think, there are moments like that that remind us what all God does for us, just for us to be. How many days go by that I didn't even acknowledge God one time for the fact that He sustained me? And you might think, well, Elliot, God doesn't make your heart beat every time it beats. Well, maybe He does, maybe He doesn't, but He designed this. He gets all the credit for it. Everything this body does that allows me to be and do and whatever I am able to accomplish, God did it. I didn't do any of it. How many days does God take care of me and I don't even know it? I don't even think about it. Psalm 3:5. Look at this psalm. "I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me." The problem with the Tower of Babel is they weren't worried about what God wanted, and they weren't giving credit for what God was, and they weren't trying to do something to honor God. It was about selfish humanism. And we see a lot of that today. They forgot that it's God that made them, God that will judge them, and it's in between God that sustains them. And every morning we wake up, it's not because we're great. It's not because, look at me, I ate my vegetables yesterday and I did 30 minutes on the hamster wheel, and you know what I mean? That's not it. In fact, what's interesting, and I forget this, this body is not me. Your body is not you. Your body is what God gave you to transport you during this lifetime. We live in this. We live in these bodies that God gave us that are so amazing. His design is so amazing. But we're inside this. And when these bodies die, we will continue to live. Our spirit. We are so fragile. I remember about 15 years ago, my oldest, Elizabeth, she was about 3. And she was in preschool, and I worked a couple blocks from where she went to school, and so every day I would go and pick her up and we would walk home. And in walking home, you know, some days she would walk with me and some days I would carry her and some days I would put her on my shoulders. And you remember, if your children are older, and I hadn't thought about this in a while, But when you have a toddler and you put them on your shoulders, and their hands invariably will go over your eyes. That's where the hands go, you know. But when you get those adjusted, it's just a neat experience, really, to have your young child and their hands, their small little hands on your head holding on. And you're walking along, and I was walking along that day, and out came a neighborhood dog. Now, I'm not really a pet person. I enjoy animals to a degree, and I just didn't grow up with animals. I don't hate animals. I have two pets in our home that I tolerate and sometimes are affectionate to sometimes. But I really don't like... This was a good-sized dog, and he was barking like he was not wanting to play. And I don't like that. I'm afraid of being bit by a dog. I've never been bit, but I don't want to be bit, okay? And so we're going along, and out comes this dog, and he's barking, and he's close to me, and I'm nervous. And I remember, I was wearing shorts, I remember feeling his breath on my calf as I'm trying to walk away, you know, holding it all together and hide my fear. Now, Elizabeth, all she sees is puppy dog, and she's talking to the puppy, and she loves the puppy, and the puppy's great. She is oblivious to any essence of danger at this point. But it's not all that different with us and God. When you stop and think about us without God, without His wisdom, without His design, without what He's given us that we didn't do anything to receive, every day of our life, we ride around on God's shoulders. And as that dog was harassing me, I was afraid, but I'll tell you something. As a parent, it doesn't matter as a parent if you're a man or a woman, if you're large or small, if something messes with your child, you will defend your child. And I remember being in the mental place that says, whatever happens, I will defend this child, whatever it takes. And we ride around on God's shoulders, and every day we are oblivious to how fragile we are. We are oblivious sometimes to how near death we are. And we make the mistake, or mankind does, by thinking, look at how great I am. And in reality, we are just blessed. And I want to close by sharing. Steve and I were talking Wednesday night, and he was telling me that a friend of him asked him, you know, the other day, just casually, how he was, and they were talking. Just, you know, Steve's recently retired, and he's worked really hard at his job. I remember, you know, the past couple of years knowing Steve, and on Sunday nights, he would be here oftentimes, and then he would leave and go to Kansas, where he would work during the week. And work a lot of hours and work hard. And I've been happy for Steve. He's retired now. He's in good health, relatively young. I mean, that's a great place to be in life. And so his friend asked him how he was, and he said, you know, I had to tell him, God had been so good to me. And Steve told his friend, you know, I'm really blessed by how good God's been to me. Now, what's interesting is the friend is an atheist. And Steve said, I know he's an atheist. I know he's not going to get it, but I have to tell the truth. And the truth is, and I'm not saying every time someone asks you how you're doing, you have to say that you know, God's been so good to you. But in our minds, we need to realize that we're not doing great because we've been smart with our money. We're not doing great because we've been smart with our diet. We're not doing great because we've been a good hard worker in life. We're doing great not even because we had great parents, although still trace that back to God. But I'm doing great because God is good to me. And I am blessed by God. And I'm nothing without Him. And whatever I might be able to build, whatever someone might put on a tower, the glory needs to go to God, because without Him, we don't last one second. This morning, we're going to have an invitation, And there may be something on your heart that you want to put before us. There may be someone this morning that you've not been walking with God as you need to, and you want prayers about that. There may be someone that wants to have their sins washed away in baptism this morning. And if there's a need that you have, please come while we stand and sing.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you. Thank you for giving.